I guess we're back for episode 2 of
Congrats, ladies.
We did it.
Oh, my God.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. Yeah, people don't like our vocal fry.
People don't like us.
Yeah, people don't like us.
Our haters got their panties in a bunch about our voices. I think, like, my main point, first off, is that I think our haters should get their story straight. Do they hate our vocal fry, or do they hate our indistinguishably monotone, low-energy pitch?
Right.
I don't know, but I was thinking that, like, in the spirit of addressing some of our critics and also sending out positive vibes, yes, I would, like, take some advice from some of the people on the internet, on Reddit and on Twitter, and maybe from now on...
It's always good to take advice from people on Reddit.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a good practice. And maybe, you know, I was thinking maybe now and Dasha and I could modulate our voices a little for future reference or for future podcasts. I was thinking of doing it in, like, my daddy voice. Like, daddy, please tell me about austerity politics. Or the other thing that I was thinking about was to take a cue from, like, my ultimate thinspo role model, Tony Soprano's mistress Irina.
Oh, perfect.
and you know, take the advice.
Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, explain to me, please, what is neoliberalism?
And somebody actually suggested that one of us, like, affect a really thick accent on, like, Twitter to do the podcast in the future. And I think, like, that's a great idea. Because I want to sound more like the Russian, trolls that we are, because I think that'll raise our, like, sexual currency, too. Men hate vocal fry.
Men hate the sound of women's voices. They think all women sound the same and attribute vocal fry to anyone.
Anything, yeah. And I always assumed, like, vocal fry was, like, kind of like the...
The valley girl.
Valley girl, like, sorority girl thing. Like, exactly.
I actually do have vocal fry.
It's a croaking.
It's like about being too lazy to, like, talk, enunciate clearly, and, you know, I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
So that's why the register of my voice is so low and down here.
Yeah,
it's the vocal pitch under neoliberalism.
Yeah, yeah, we're just exhausted from the drudgery of our lives as women under neoliberalism. So, like, our voices break and croak at the tragedy of the extreme circumstances
it's
that we have to
really
survive through. Yeah.
Well, but we're taking you seriously, everyone out there. That's
we're gonna
told
try
us
and
to
do
get
better.
Raped.
Yeah,
I'm
really
raped.
You know, the most action that I'd be getting in months. So
honestly, it's really
so
thrilling.
Bring it on. Yeah, yeah. So speaking of women and vocal fry and.
The tyranny of neoliberalism.
The tyranny of neoliberalism. The wing
is being investigated.
Yeah.
That's where I get my blowouts.
Yeah. Do they do blowouts?
Oh, yeah,
they do blowouts. So the wing, for those of you who don't know, is being investigated by the New York Human Rights Commission. The wing is a woman's social club and
co-working space, blow dry bar.
Dry bar basically, which is, like, located in a place called Ladies Mile in New York City and a bunch of other, like, unimportant locations.
Uh-huh.
And they have plans of opening up shop in D.C. and L.A. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and there's one in Brooklyn too.
There's
in Dumbo.
I was looking at the site today, checking out some
what
of the amenities and merchandise.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a blow-dry bar, but seems like they have avocado toast and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and they have, like, you know, a really cute, like, millennial pink.
Yeah.
It's just a giant Thinks panties
ad. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Basically.
So it's the wing is basically a place where you can, like, get a manicure and get a blowout and sit on, like, a millennial pink mid-century modern couch with, like, gabbing with other women while, like, not actually doing an iota of work. And also, I think rumor has it that they have a lot of mirrors in the wing, like, installed, like with lighting, because God knows we ladies love to look at our reflection
gaze
in the
at
mirror.
Ourselves, yeah.
And I guess the idea is that they're being sued for gender discrimination.
They're not being sued yet. They're being investigated for the commission is going to look into their practices and make sure that they're up to code.
Compliant
with.
Yeah. But we got a tip from
Very credible source.
Yeah.
That basically Audrey Gelman might have planted this little ditty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She leaked it to Jezebel herself.
She orchestrated, yeah. So,
which is masterful.
She's savvy.
Yeah, Audrey Gelman is somebody that I have, like, a lot of begrudging respect for because she's, like, this unassuming, adorable little Jewish spinner who's actually, like, totally clever and nefarious.
Mm-hmm. My only criticism of her was, like, what were you doing with Terry Richardson? Good God.
Well, Terry Richardson.
She dated the downtown. I mean, what was
downtown,
like downtown. Herpes brand ambassador.
Okay, wait. Who? What was Aaron Bondaroff's name? Downtown.
Aaron, the downtown Don.
The downtown Don. Yeah. Terry Richardson is basically the downtown daddy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I've always been very attracted to Aaron Bondaroff.
Jesus Christ!
Because he's Jewish, Dasha.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
And you're
and
sick
smarmy,
in the head for the Jewish man. Yeah.
I find when the article came out, I was kind of like, Well, I've been like playfully touching his arm for months. I don't know what I have to do to get my clothes ripped off in a car.
And you didn't get any?
No, not at all.
Interesting. But so I guess the idea is that like Audrey Gelman is the former the ex-girlfriend of Uncle Terry and the BFF of our favorite human beanbag, Lena Dunham. And she's also very politically savvy because she worked as a press secretary for the New York City comptroller, Scott Stringer.
And she needed a place to change outfits.
Yeah,
between like shilling for Hillary.
Yeah, and she's basically like a hard-boiled Clintonite. Audrey Gelman is somebody who, you know, like quotes Dipset lyrics and hangs out with Remy Ma and like gets photographed at Mets games like being a New Yorker, uh-huh, but actually hates poor and black people because she is like a Hillary shill. Am I allowed to say that? I mean,
yes,
I guess
and it
podcast.
Costs $3,000 annually to join the wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a women's only Soho house.
Basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the bigger issue, right? That like the wing has like, you know, they're being investigated because men actually not only cannot be members, but cannot actually be guests of the wing. But
they do employ men.
They do employment. And also the wing has, you know, no compunction in taking like venture capital money from WeWork, the giant WeWork, which is probably headed, I'm going to go out on a limb having not done any research, probably headed by a man. And they take,
that's
you know,
fair.
Money. They have something like $40 million, $40 million in venture capital, $32 million of it, which comes from the wing or from WeWork. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this investigation is interesting because it's obviously like very trumped up and misguided.
Yeah, of course.
And it almost seems stupid that anybody would bring it against an organization like this.
Well, that's why we have the intel.
We have the intel of a source, yeah. And I would totally buy that, like, this is, like...
Inside job.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because, Dasha, you sent us a tweet today that...
Oh, yeah, she tweeted this morning that she woke up wondering why it was that Jezebel... She's, like, trying to deflect.
Mm-hmm.
Very savvy. She was wondering why Jezebel knew about the commission before the wing itself did.
Mm-hmm.
Something to that effect.
Who the fuck reads Jezebel?
I know. I know. Yeah, as always, Meg is the voice of reason. I haven't logged on to Jezebel since, mm-hmm, like 2008 or something.
Until I read that article this morning to get ready for...
Which was authored by Amanda. Yeah. In general, it's pretty like safe to say that the wing is like an exponent of like the worst kind of like coastal elite pink pussy hat liberal feminism.
It's their headquarters, basically.
yeah So of course the wing is like horrible and nefarious, but it has nothing to do really with the fact that it's discriminating against men.
Sure. Yeah, there's no reason to investigate them. If anything, they're discriminating against poor women.
yeah
I mean, ultimately this is just a great press for her. for her national campaign for like
I Stand With The Wing is trending. People are like vocalizing their support.
She must be getting more seed money too.
Definitely. Good. Well.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I think I read like a New York Times article or something, or some statement that Gelman herself released, where she sort of cited, because originally The Wing was like a place for women to like, you know, do their astrology charts and like paint their nails together. And now, you know, she cites like the Me Too movement and Time's Up and the Women's March as like very effective women's led movements, which is debatable. But she basically attributes the new political animus of The Wing to like this upsurge. And
right, that their women need a safe space. Mm-hmm. A safe haven, a shelter.
Yeah,
The leering.
Well, I mean, from
the groping. That's
from the interior photos that I've seen. Because Lord knows I've never been in that thing. It's a lot of Gloria Steinem, picketing signs.
Yeah,
it's just littered. Like, walls are littered with that kind of.
Yeah,
look. Yeah. I would go if they invited me.
I guess I would go too. I'm just going to put that on record right now, even
if
though
you guys want us to stop by, we'll gladly take a look at the facilities.
We'll record our podcast from the womb-like interior of the wing after we
maybe
set all
that shit. Maybe a lactation room would be good.
It's a big upgrade from this basement we're in.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows neoliberal women, like career feminists, don't have children.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They do have a lactation room.
Yeah.
At the wing?
They do.
Mm-hmm. I saw it on the site. It's one of their.
Huh.
I don't know what goes really. You'd think they'd be able to lactate wherever.
Yeah.
In a truly progressive space, but.
I wouldn't want to be around like these people.
Other people while you were lactating. While you were like pumping your breast milk into a lukewarm bottle.
I want like paid leave, like maternity leave, like see you later job. I'm out off for 2 years having a kid.
I don't even want a job.
I just want a husband. I'm also putting that out there.
I don't want to go to
this is a call to the cum town subreddit.
Yeah, preferably Jewish and not dead.
Preferably alive.
Yeah.
I'm fine living off of Adam's Patreon.
Oh, name. God. Oh, I need more alcohol.
We're practicing like a feminist real politic here because at least we're like very honest about our motives. But the wing, you know, they've shored up all this kind of like political Sturm und Drang around themselves. And it's all basically to you know, serve their like neoliberal membership bracket, which is, you know, again, I think starting at like $215 a month and then like $2,300 for an annual membership.
Oh, you can do like a layaway payment.
Yeah,
plan.
You can
no,
pay
you
by
have
month.
To pay and you have to pay annually. Oh, I'm looking into this.
Like lump sum annually.
Lactation room.
So, but on their website, they have like this, they have the breakdown by individual month and it's like $215.
But all, then it says all memberships are an annual commitment.
Oh, I see.
Oh, they lock you in. Oh, so okay.
You can't just.
So
come
you're
check
stuck.
It out.
It's like Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
You have to get a doctor's note to get out of the wings contract.
What happens if you're actually locked into the wing? Like, does anybody know like what the contract is? Like, you just don't renew after a year. Yeah.
I have to hit up our
source.
We'll
have to get a guest.
Yeah. I emailed the wing a while back because I wanted to get in there to just like scope it out, and of course they like won't. You know, let me in within like a 2 mile radius.
You're not invited.
Yeah.
It's a coven.
Yeah.
They also identify as a coven.
Yeah.
I think you need to definitely let them know that you're a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. This
behind
is
that
what,
Twitter.
What Gosh, said. Yeah.
Sir, we are discriminating against men here. Maybe one of us could get a job as a janitor or something and then.
Well, you know.
Dasha becomes the porter of the wing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had high hopes because my very good friend and roommate, Leia, was interviewing at the wing. Oh, and yeah. I was hoping that she would be like my mole. And I guess that didn't.
Oh, she tried to.
Yeah.
They didn't let her?
Well, she was interviewing. I mean, I guess she just didn't get the job, but like, or maybe, she, you know, this could, this is probably all up in the air, so I might just be ruining her chances by signaling my affiliation with her.
Oh, they sell a Nomi Fry t-shirt.
At the Wing?
Is Nomi Fry a member of the Wing?
I feel like there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of cool and interesting people going there.
I know,
for
Caitlin
sure.
Phillips goes.
Yeah. Jonas like I said, I hang out there, but it doesn't say that it's
right. I'd move in.
Yeah.
For $3,000.
We'd squat
can
in
I
the
live
Wing.
There? my hair would probably look great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope when like the inevitable like nuclear or like infrastructural apocalypse comes to New York and the city is decimated and it's like a Mad Max mm-hmm. or like the Warriors type scenario.
The marauding gangs.
Yeah.
Speaking of a
marauding gangs of like sinister homosexuals of the art world.
Well, they did. I remember the day after the election, the Wing tweeted out like, "Oh, never mind our fees or membership. We're welcome to all women."
Yeah.
Wow.
They opened up the door so for everyone to mourn.
Yeah.
The Wing.
Yeah.
Again.
Sad to have missed it.
I stayed at home.
Yeah, me too. I actually only found out about this in retrospect, and I really, really regret not getting in there while I could. Yeah. So again, Audrey Gelman, if you're listening, I'm willing to change my tune about the Wing. If you could just waive my year-long membership. I love metal concert tees of bands that I have not listened to, and I am a total Mets fan. So,
Anna and I have been to a Mets game.
We've been to a Mets game, yeah.
Cool. I don't remember much of it, but...
I have
you were in
a Mets
box.
Shirt, but I was wearing it on the train in LA once, and like an autistic guy started talking to me.
Of course, yeah.
And like trapped me in a long conversation about, he was like, "Oh, you like sports?" I was like, "No." He was like, "Do you like comic books?" I was like, "No." And then he was like, "What do you like?" And I
swords?
Was like,
"Swords?"
No. I was like, "Politics?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Why?" And then I like, when I thought about it, I was like, "I guess just because I'm mentally ill." Like,
yeah.
Sorry, I don't like the Mets.
Yeah, I don't either. We went for the buffet.
There's a buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
We got in like a fight with some like local Queens guys, Mets fans.
Yeah.
Our boyfriends were hanging out and actually watching the game. I still don't even remember who won, but that's all right.
I don't either. I have no idea.
I can't even watch. It's undecipherable to me. I don't know what.
It's such a
they're
slow
just images.
Sport. It's
yeah.
a bunch of, you know, basketball and soccer I can watch because at least the guys are hot. And they there's a lot of action. They run up and down the court. In baseball, it's a bunch of, like, hamster asses holding their dicks, like, standing around with their dicks in their hands mm-hmm. in a field
like
for 3 hours.
Like, dumpy asses, like, unflattering yeah. pants.
No, yeah. I totally buy into this whole idea that it takes very little athleticism to play baseball.
I guess you have to be strong, but, you know, most Barely. Men are, like, pretty strong, I guess, so it doesn't really...
I only want to go because it's for the food. And honestly, come to think of it, I'd rather be a Yankees fan.
The cool. Yankees.
No, the Mets.
I respect that.
The Yankees are like the team of like New York underdogs. It's like, you know, Italians and Puerto Ricans and like poor people. And the Mets are basically the team du jour of like the coastal elite, rootless cosmopolitan segment of sports.
Do you remember the Seinfeld episode when Jerry drives his Volvo convertible? You've never seen Seinfeld.
No, I'm not.
You've
I'm
never
a bad
seen
Jew.
Seinfeld?
A very bad Jew.
Yeah, this
Anna,
really blows
yeah.
my mind.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
Masturbating to curb your enthusiasm.
Close enough.
Flicking the bean to Larry David. Dishy Jeff Garland.
Oh, I love boy. Jeff Garland.
Yeah, he's like actually really
I
hot.
Ate lunch next to him once. He's I love his voice.
Yeah, I like that hot he is a voice. Big man.
Mm-hmm. Where did you have lunch? Where did you have lunch?
Jones on 3rd in Studio City. It's kind of an industry spot for people in the entertainment industry, such as myself.
For the big dogs.
Yeah.
Jeff Garland and Dasha. Yeah.
Before I was a successful podcaster.
Yeah. Another thing that our haters really hated was that we like talked a lot about the difference between LA and New York. And
which we were doing as sort of a bit. Like we know it's like a hacky
an
thing
annoying
to talk
thing,
about.
But
yeah.
what else are we going to talk about? Like, with all due respect, this is like a New York centric podcast, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. For people who are interested in the goings on in New York.
Yeah. In the goings on of like getting your like hair blown out and your nails done at the wing.
Can I outline my platform for Venmo feminism?
Yeah. Is this a 2-minute pitch?
It's like an alternative to like the wing, say. It's like if you feel disappointed by the corporate feminist promise, you can be a different. I made up a new kind of feminism called Venmo feminism, which is that basically the idea is that because of all of the rampant sexual harassment in our society, it's not really safe for women to have a job, which is why I don't have one. And so it kind of like a retribution, all gainfully employed men should just hop on Venmo and make things right. And just redistribute the wealth, if you will, by like Venmoing me or like another broke girl in your life. And in return, I won't call anyone out. And I'll stay, like, relatively hot and docile.
So you're, like, advocating for, like, basically, like, a revival of old school gender roles, but through, like, the digital platform economy. And also, like, you know, micropayments of hush money.
Basically.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit me on Zelle.
Yeah.
What's Zelle?
Well, that's a new Venmo. Oh, if you're gonna be in on the micro patronage via these like bank transfer apps, you have to know all of them.
I just collected a payment for $125 from Zelle. I'll have you ladies know, but it was not from a man, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
it's so much nicer when men buy you things and do things for you than when it's like, you know, a woman or an organization. No, it was for an essay that my friend Alexis Avedisian, who I will shout out on this podcast, wrote together like years ago, and we didn't think it would ever see the light of day, but I guess it is now materializing. And, you know, I connected and used my Chase app and got the money. And Zelle is really
Zelle.
Like Zelle is like the, it's like Elvest. It's like the wing of payment platforms. Like, it's like friendly and feminine and has kind of like a, you know, it sounds like
maybe I'm a Zelle feminist.
Yeah, it's like very Legally Blonde.
Supposedly all the banks are supposed to connect to it.
Cool.
I tried to send my boyfriend rent and it didn't work.
That's your first mistake.
He has a credit union.
The first mistake is paying your boyfriend
rent. Yeah. There was like a long, like on social media, there was like this whole like long kind of drawn out thing of women being like, give money
to women.
Yeah. Which like I agree with in principle, but you know, this has to be a transaction. Like, you have to be offering something in return.
Right.
Which is like, you know, how prostitutes and escorts make their money, because they are offering a basic service in return. Women can't just simply exist. You know, you can't just lay there like a termite queen and expect the micropayments to come streaming in.
Right.
Like, what, you know, what
is
your
effectively
value proposition?
It's almost like a blackmail transaction
in
the case of MO feminism. Easy come, easy go.
But if it works for you, that's fine.
I mean, no one's, you know, if you think that maybe you've softly sexually assaulted me at some point, or we've had sex and like you maybe think it wasn't that great for me, hop on Venmo.
I just learned on Twitter that it's Trans
I saw that
Visibility
today.
Day.
Oh, happy Trans Visibility Day.
So we can, you know, shout out to Hari Neff, who's
a wing member.
Who's a wing member and was shilling for the wing on Twitter.
Big time. Well, she's on the cover of their
this
magazine.
This whole debacle?
Yeah.
She was shilling for it.
Oh. So wait, the wing has a magazine?
Called No Man's Land.
Wait, I thought that was...
That's what I call my pussy. Wow.
Anna's single, y'all.
Yeah, I'm single. My labia are the wing and the pussy is the no man's land, guys. We're really looking to change that up here.
Yeah, they have some kind of publication.
Oh, it's that broadsheet thing you sent us?
No, that's some merchandise at their store that you can buy.
Oh.
But this is like a magazine that like Brie Larson contributed to, who so, I also fucking hate.
Pardon?
Wait, is Brie Larson. Who is Brie Larson? Is that like Amber Tamblyn?
They're similar.
Okay, because they just seem like blonde actresses. She's
waiting to get out of fucking horn to see she hates this bitch.
Sorry, Brie Larson. You're on notice. She's just another like pretty annoying actress.
Sorry.
Who's not that hot. And I hate her especially because she tweeted sort of like peak Me Too about being at the airport and a TSA guy asking her for her phone number after she merely smiled at him.
Okay.
And then she said to live life as a woman is to live life on the defense.
Okay, so a poor person. Black or Latino person
had the audacity to look at this beautiful actress
and get, like, you know, mildly horned up and try his luck. I mean, really, kudos to men who are willing to try their luck with women because, you know, this day and age, you really can't do that.
Mm.
Like, you know, back in the day, you would walk up to a woman and, like, try to, like, you know, flirt with her, like graze her thigh or touch the small of her back or something. And maybe you would get like pepper sprayed. Now you get like a Medium post that lives in posterity on the internet.
Yeah. In that Wing article as well, there was like testimony from women being like, I'm getting catcalled constantly. I get catcalled on my way to the Wing. And then when I walk through the doors, I know that I'm safe.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've always said this. Catcalling is totally acceptable. I have to walk my dog all the time. Mm-hmm. I get catcalled in my neighborhood very frequently.
I almost never.
I have a huge.
They're
fucking...
like, excuse me, sir, you're blocking the exit.
You guys, I have a huge ass. That's what the key is.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood.
The ass.
That's right, guys. Meg has a huge ass. Yeah. Redditors.
That's right. Meg's ass is
listen
big.
Up.
It's a real whale tail over here. No, but that's the key. So that they see the rump. Uh-huh. But if it happens during I think if it happens during bank hours, if it's daylight, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind. It's like a compliment. Don't do it at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird and scary.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with catcalling too. It's a moral gray area. Like, and you know, sometimes I feel really like shitty and fucked up and depressed and exhausted, and I barrel out of my apartment, and some guy is like, "You're beautiful," and that, you know, makes my day. And the guy doesn't have to, you know. Usually, it's like some guy with like a cane who hangs around on my block. And like looks like he has like advanced stage HIV, but. There's a difference between like somebody trailing you, like menacing you, and you realize like this whole like catcalling argument is really like an assault on working class men, because who catcalls? Rich men don't catcall.
No, they're not out on the street like loitering, yeah, waiting for women to pass by.
Yeah, so like, you know, the whole catcalling thing is bullshit. And as far as it pertains to the Wing, like that to me is just like an like
humble brag.
It's like an endlessly, it's a very rich like terrain of irony and absurdity, because again, I hasten to remind you that Audrey Gelman dated Terry Richardson.
Yep.
Who?
Boom. Great point. Yeah. Who like fingers models.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah. And that to me is a really bizarre kind of like a turn of the plot twist or whatever. The idea is that like there are other, you know, most other workplaces or work related spaces are far more hostile to women. So it's weird that like this commission would be looking into a woman's only space when there are like mixed male dominated spaces that are basically like constantly difficult for women to navigate. Yeah.
Like actual human rights violations.
Yeah, yeah.
I am truly, like, I think it's all fake.
Yeah. Inside job.
I think everything is fake, yeah. And same. That's the thing. That's the world that we live in now.
Name one thing that isn't an inside job.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. You need to get off Reddit.
I know. Like, Jesus Reddit's Christ. Like rotting my brain. It's disgusting. Yeah, I go through phases. A couple years ago, I started smoking cigarettes inside and reading Reddit, and I like basically had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm back, baby.
Yeah. Dasha is the one that sends me all of the Reddit tips.
Yeah, I do.
And like, I, up until like a week ago, I'd never really been on Reddit, but there's like somebody
who, talk about you.
I know.
It's hard to look away.
I know, it really is. And I'm like a total Leo narcissist.
Of course.
Like attention whore. Mm-hmm. So it is. But what I did notice was that somebody was like on Reddit using my name as their handle, which is scary. But they were kind of going to bat. I doubt it, but they were kind of like defending my honor.
It seemed
a little bit.
Like you.
Yeah. Yeah. They like did a good, they did a basically a baseline good job at kind of like doing an impression of me and my like rhetorical quirks. The one thing that they said was like this owns or something, which like is something that I would never say that, because I'm like so repulsed by like the language of the rose emoji squad, where it's like this owns or like this slaps or whatever they say now.
I wish there
hell
was
yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I wish that there was a way to unleash Anna's Twitter bot on the Redditors.
Oh, they do have bots on Reddit.
I have a great idea. I know how we can do that. We can just have my mother as a host on the show, because she like really is the inspiration behind my Twitter bot, which I have nothing to do with. But she like talks like a Russian bot and sends me like emails about chemtrails and like Russian collusion.
Fan of the show.
Yeah.
Anna's mom.
Big fan.
Yeah. She did.
She gave us, she told us the critique was, it was very Linda Richmond, mm-hmm. which I take as a total compliment.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do our zodiac chart in minute detail on this podcast. Maybe some of the ladies of the wing will take notice.
Sign, Anna?
I am a Leo Virgo cusp.
Right.
Which means I'm on one hand a classic prude, and on the other hand, a craven, unrepentant attention whore. And this is like sort of like the Nietzschean, like Apollonian, Dionysian inner conflict
That's
that I face every day.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, like the angel and devil on your shoulder constantly.
I'm a cusp as well.
I'm your cusp too.
You're Aquarius Capricorn?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Aquarius Pisces.
Mm.
Wow. Very special.
We're very cuspy. Mm-hmm.
It's a very special
cuspy.
It's a very special cuspian podcast.
Mm-hmm.
For cusp interests.
I'm the like stupid optimistic zodiac person who's like emotionally aloof. And eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's as real as anything else.
Yeah. It's
right?
Like, I don't. Like, like, on one hand, I think astrology is like total bullshit.
Of course,
but on
it's
the other
fake.
Hand, it's, you know, you have to believe in something.
Well, if we don't have religion, you have religion now.
Dasha's
am Jewish.
Converting to Judaism.
I had a wonderful Seder last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to maintain my Catholic upbringing and also convert to Judaism, probably become a cashew.
Mm-hmm.
They're not they're
fairly the same.
Similar.
They have the same like neuroses.
They're both like upset and guilty and horny and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Catholic guilt is actually very similar to Jewish guilt, which is why I think like Italians and Jews get along so well. Or like in Russia, some Armenians are Catholic, but, you know, or Orthodox Christian guilt. In Russia, why Armenians and Jews intermarry so often. It's actually called, I can't translate it into English, but, you know, it's called like, kind of like, there's a word that my mom used to say. It's like grimuche smes, for all the listeners who understand Russian. You can edit this out. It means like, you know, like the rattlesnake, almost like rattling mix. It's like, because we're combustible when you like mix.
Your mother is Russian and your father's Armenian.
Yeah. But you really have to like, I mean, I'm like a big proponent of this, which is why, you know, it's hard to be in a sense on board with like a pure leftism that is basically anti-nationalist, because you as a person, as an individual, have to believe in some arbitrary kind of ethno-religious thing, affiliation, to survive. And I think, like, that's a, like, you know, neoliberalism does a great job of doing this. And, like, some of my favorite writers, like Mark Fisher, Will Davies, have written about this, that, like, you know, back in the past, in, like, the social democratic way, the way that we defined ourselves was through, like, positive affinities, like ethnicity and religion, like, I'm a Polish Catholic. And now you define yourself almost solely through your adversity, right? Like, I have this disease, or I was oppressed for this reason.
Right, I'm oppressed in these ways.
Yeah. And I think, like, okay, it's problematic on some level to identify with, like, an ethno-nationalist group, obviously, especially if it spills over into racism. But now it's kind of, like, vilified to take pride in your sense of history.
Stormy Daniels. Yeah, we promised we would talk about Stormy Daniels.
There was the... We were talking about Me Too earlier a little bit. I thought it was funny in the... You watched the interview.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I read the transcript.
But it was funny how she, like, openly was like, I don't like anyone co-opting my experience into your, like,
she's
activism.
Like, this isn't a Me Too thing. She's like, I consented to sex with this person.
No, and that's like an interesting thing that I was thinking about in terms of, like, the kind of liberal feminist politics espoused by the Wang and the Steinemites and the Clintonites, is that, you know, liberal feminism basically talks down to women in the guise of female empowerment. One of the most common criticisms of liberal feminism now that we see coming, like, from the left and the right, I think, is that it purports to speak for all women. And while that's certainly true, I think the bigger issue is that it tries to frame all women as victims or as, like, survivors, depending on how much money they got for leaking their story to the press or whatever.
Right, well, that's the idea about Me Too is, like, we all are experiencing. Yeah.
But I really appreciated Stormy Daniels going on record and saying, like, no, I'm not a part of this movement, and I'm not a victim, and it was consensual, and while I regretted it...
And I wasn't attracted to him.
And I wasn't attracted to him, that's something that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that it was very much, like... transactional.
Yeah, and
I find that's the most remarkable, like, point of the interview. Everything else is very underwhelming.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's like I think it's crucially, like, it's transactional, but it's ad hoc. Like, you make the best out of a shitty situation that you didn't see coming your way. It's not like, you know, this woman necessarily went out casting for opportunities. I think the other thing that was, like, part of the 60 Minutes interview that I thought was very revealing was when, you know, Anderson Cooper asked her, you know, what do you say to the people that are like, well, maybe you were just casting around for your come up or for some money or whatever. And she's like, well, I settled for a very low sum and I didn't negotiate.
Right.
She just took it.
She could have probably... asked for more. And I think, like, you know, it's interesting because a similar thing happened to, like, Monica Lewinsky, right? When she, who's another Wing supporter, by the way.
She was tweeting about
it. She was tweeting about it, yeah.
That's where she goes to.
Yeah, what co working space does Monica Lewinsky frequent?
Do they have cigars there?
At the Wing, yeah. It's interesting because Stormy Daniels is actually acting like sort of the ideal female, like, neoliberal subject. She's being a total free agent. She's taking on immense personal risk, and she's actually being punished for it, and not only by, like, Trump's legal team and Trump supporters, but also by these, like, liberal feminists who are trying to shoehorn her into kind of their, an understandable narrative.
And I see a lot of liberals also using the same critique of Trump as, like, it'll be, like, a picture of, like, Barack Obama, like, adoring his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, well, now our president, like, hangs out with porn stars and prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she becomes like vilified even though she's ostensibly doing all the right things.
But, you know, like JFK hung out with JFK hung out with porn stars and prostitutes, or like the equivalent.
I'm pretty positive that Obama has too. We just don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet.
He just presents a lot better. He's a lot like,
yeah,
this is something you say is that people's problem with Trump isn't his policy. It's like his decorum.
It's like the sensibility.
Way that he, like, yeah.
It's because he's repulsive to people, which, you know, is understandable, but we live, he's, you know, really a mirror onto our society. Like, we live in a repulsive society.
Yeah.
And was it really any better under Obama when all of this was, like, swept under the rug and under the, and, like, you know, this kind of, like, uplifting parochial veneer of, like, professional managerial positivity? I think that's equally disgusting, right? Like, the idea that, like, I mean, maybe Obama does love his wife.
I'm okay with that.
And he has like a great family, but that doesn't, you know, exculpate him from like droning other people's Yemeni families at weddings. But I'm also like very kind of on the fence about litigating or like legislating the private, or like in the sphere of public opinion, like the private lives of political figures.
Well, the idea was the Stormy Daniels, the issue was maybe that he used,
that it was like a campaign
fund.
Well, the idea was that Michael Cohen, who is Trump's lawyer, paid her this like kind of comparably paltry sum of money, $130,000, as hush money to keep her trap shut. And that was seen as like kind of an illegal, that is being now investigated as like an illegal contribution, a campaign contribution.
But also no one cares. Like, no one who supports Trump gives a shit that he at all.
Well, that was one of the most striking things about his election, when the whole, like, grab her by the pussy commentary came out. Yeah. None of his supporters really cared, and none of the women who voted for him particularly cared.
Of course.
There's a certain way that in which the left and right are more aligned than kind of, like, center liberalism, in that they're almost more... Both sides, like both extremes of the spectrum, are almost like more willing to confront their hypocrisies and inadequacies, right? Which liberalism is completely like incapable of doing.
Uh-huh. I mean, prior to Trump being elected, no one talked about neoliberalism.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
it was like, at least now we can like address that things are actually bad for very many people, and that's why we're in this predicament.
Yeah, and that's sort of the accelerationist argument that people have a lot of like issues with, where the idea that like if Trump, you know, accelerates kind of late stage capitalism, that it'll prime the arena for actual true revolt and protest and whatever. And I don't think that that's necessarily true.
I think Bernie would have won.
Yeah, but I mean, would he have? Because he didn't, right? But like,
well, he didn't. I mean, had he not been like fucked over in the primaries,
yeah,
by Crooked Hillary, he would have like, he would have at least had a real chance against Trump, which Hillary clearly didn't.
Yeah, Jenna Jameson actually is one of the few porn stars who has like gone on record about the Stormy Daniels scandal, and she said, as Anderson Cooper relayed in the interview, that the left looks at her like a whore and just uses her to discredit the president, while the right looks at her like a treacherous rat, and it's like a lose-lose situation, and she should have kept her trap shut, basically. And Stormy Daniels actually agreed with her and said, I think there's a lot of wisdom in those words.
Sure.
And I think it's a really sad reality that we live in, where kind of the major political wisdom is coming from, like, porn stars, who I think, like, maybe this is, like, part of the whole, like, the liberal identification with, like, sex work and porn stars, which we briefly, like, talked about last episode. It's that, like, when ordinary, like, labor relations mirror prostitution, we're, like, living in a really shitty time. It's, like, what a time to be alive or whatever. And, like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Another great episode in the can.
All right, guys. We will see you in hell.